Welcome to the Global Gaming Business Podcast, the industry's first and longest running podcast, now in our 19th year. I'm Roger Gross, the publisher of GGB, and our guest today is Jim Allen, the chairman of Hard Rock International, on the occasion of his induction into the American Gaming Association's Gaming Hall of Fame. For people claiming gaming is just an entry-level job, Jim Allen is their paradox. Starting as a restaurant inventory control clerk at Bally's Park Place in Atlantic City, Allen quickly rose through the ranks of several casinos there until he stumbled upon the Seminole tribe in Florida, who were just getting ready to open their first casino. Allen was later named as president of the tribe's gaming business, which included leasing the Hard Rock name from the then owner of the brand. Allen realized the potential of Hard Rock and got permission from the tribe to make an offer for the company. The rest is history, as Allen and the Seminoles have expanded Hard Rock to become one of the most recognizable brands in the hospitality industry. Allen sat down with me at G2E in October, on the day he was inducted into the AGA Gaming Hall of Fame.
Jim, it's great to see you. Congratulations on being named to the Gaming Hall of Fame. That's a real honor, and there's so many great people in there now you're one of them as well.
Thank you, Roger. I truly appreciate it. Very humbling.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I think we met, the first time we met was when you were working at Trump Plaza in the advertising department for the late, great Gary Slezner.
I was certainly worked with Gary a lot, but I technically was in a company department. I was vice president of materials management.
Okay, great. But you started as an entry-level position, basically, in the industry, and you worked your way up. I think that's really great that people can look at you and see that can happen to them as well.
100%.
So let's talk about where your inflection point was, where you know you knew that you're going to go much further than just being an executive.
I think even just way before Trump Plaza, I always had a desire to strive for a lot of success,
sure.
Both in the industry and outside the industry. I don't know if there was one particular point. But certainly when I came to Florida and met the Seminole tribe,
right. That
really outlined the ability to really create some new horizons.
Yeah, no question about it. So what was it about the tribe that really impressed you? I mean, I always have said Indian gaming is the best story in gaming by far.
Yeah, I remember I had worked for Saul Kirshner and we had built Leith and Son,
yeah.
And we had tremendous success there. So I was familiar with navigating the political side of a tribal environment.
Sure.
And the great news about the Seminoles, they had some success with their bingo-style facilities, but they did not have a compact. They had no sense of management or organization. So there was a great opportunity to build upon that.
Yeah.
And obviously that's worked out well for all of us.
Yeah. We used to meet them when we were running the Southern Gaming Summit. They'd come up in their RVs and park in the parking lot. And they were great people.
Wonderful people.
Yeah.
Truly.
And the fact that you've been able to survive changes in leadership of the tribe, in most gaming tribes, whenever there's a new chairman, he brings in his own guy. But you've survived it all. What do you credit that for?
I think that initially back in 2000, the tribe had a few challenges.
Right.
So we structured the companies and all of my employment agreements and now my equity in the company so that we all work together, I've always said to the tribe that if they ever feel they want to go in a different direction, we're going to part friends and we could throw my agreements out and, we'll navigate some type of thing that works both for them and us.
Sure.
And I really believe that as a person. It's something that's very important to me.
Great. Well, I think one of the best things you've done for the tribe was the acquisition of the Hard Rock brand. Tell us how that came about and how you convinced the tribe that this was something that you needed to do.
When I met the tribe, they had a development agreement with the Cordish Company, and they had a license agreement with Hard Rock.
Right.
And as I read the documents, specifically with Hard Rock, I realized that the tribe may not have understood, what they had actually signed. So I started to pursue the owner of Hard Rock, a company called Rank, to see if they would sell the brand. They told me no many times. And I also had some people that I knew from Wall Street that were also interested that if I wanted to buy it, then, if the tribe wasn't interested, that potentially there's an avenue there. So I approached the legendary Max Osceola and told him that I had this idea. He thought that was amazing and could that really happen? He thought it would be great, And then I spoke to Mr. Shore legendary Tribes General Council and also in the Hall of Fame,
right,
which I was the person who nominated Jim for that. And, you know, one thing led to another, and we obviously went through a process, 72 other bidders, some of the biggest private equity, hotel companies, gaming, restaurant, and we were successful in December of 2006.
Right. So you're not only running Hard Rock Casinos, you're also running the cafes and the hotels,
oh, yeah,
the non-gaming hotels, and the brand that you built here. You know, you've got partners at all different levels. Some of them you run, some of them you own, some of them you just license the name. How did that all come together? And it must be complicated to really figure out how to split the money up, I guess.
Yeah, you know, it's kind of like you mentioned, and thank you for recognizing, you know, staying with a tribal government for 24 years,
right,
is not something that happens every day.
Right.
But certainly Hard Rock, when we look at over 300 locations, there's less than 20 that we own 100% ourselves.
Right.
The rest are through partnerships or licensees.
Right.
And yes, that's a daily, you know, chore, managing all those relationships.
Right.
But the good news is we've quadrupled, more than that. God, we've probably 8-9 times increased the value of Hard Rock under the tribe's ownership. So.
Oh, just recently, you brought out the Unity card. This is a way that people can use their card at any Hard Rock property, even the cafes, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, and again, that must have been very difficult because of your ownership relationship with everybody else.
Yeah, you know, there's some things in your career that you are proud of, and certainly the Unity project is one of the more unique ones, because if you're MGM, you know, with M Life or Caesars Total Rewards, they own their properties, they make a decision, and, you know, they implement.
Right.
But with us, as I mentioned, 300 locations in 70 countries. So to get all of those individual relationships to agree on a platform where one card is represented globally on behalf of all of our guests, you know, 140 million guests on an annual basis, from a technology standpoint, it was incredible. So yeah, that's something we're very proud of. We always had individual databases rewards programs, but bringing them all together was very unique.
Yeah.
And obviously with John Legend and Shakira you know, and others launching it with us, Leo Messi, it was really, really Noah Khan.
Yeah.
It was fun.
Yeah, no question about it. Another thing about Hard Rock and the Seminole Tribe, you built such an incredible corporate culture. I mean, the people I know who work for Hard Rock, some of the people that want to run your properties, they were otherwhere in other companies before that. They're so loyal to you, and they're not ever going to leave. I mean, what is it that you've done to build this corporate?
I think number one, you have to have honesty and integrity. I think you have to show the management team that our number one focus is to make sure we take care of our employees and our guests.
Sure.
And it's not solely about profits, because profits will come if we do those first two things correctly. And once you create that mindset, and then you are repetitive with it, day after day, month after month, year after year, decade after decade, it truly becomes part of a culture that frankly is very unique in our industry today.
Yeah, no question.
I think Steve Wynn was able to create that, and Steve and Elaine, should say, you know, in their company for many years before, you know, Steve moved on.
Sure, I worked with Steve Wynn, and you had loyalty for him right off the bat, especially in Atlantic City when he gave
those
cars, right?
Sure, gave away all those cars.
That's right.
It was great for all the car dealerships, that's for sure. Actually, I was talking with Elaine about that when we closed the Mirage.
Yeah.
We actually were talking about what company gives, whatever it was, 600 cars away.
Yeah, right. Let's talk about the Mirage. You know, that's going to be your first gaming presence in Vegas. I know the process was long, deciding how you wanted to do it, how you wanted to build it. You know, Joe Luke is a good friend of mine, and you know, we talked about possibilities for it. But explain why you decided to close it and for 3 years and then come out with the new guitar.
Yeah, I think the first thing is that when we bought the company, Hard Rock Las Vegas did not come with the sale. Peter Morton had still owned it in a geographic territory which was referred to as west of the Mississippi for gaming rights.
Right.
And it was very, very complicated, you know, and there was a couple other bifurcated geographic locations around the world. So my first goal was to get those rights back. We told Peter's group that we were not interested in buying Las Vegas.
Right.
Very politely, we didn't think it was worth what they were asking.
Sure.
And a compliment to Peter, he not only got the price, so he was right, and you know, it worked out for him.
Yeah.
It certainly didn't work out for the people that bought it.
That's
you
true.
Know. So for us, we then started a pursuit to get the brand off of it, because frankly, the building was having real challenges from a management standpoint. Then we were successful with that. With that process, we had the ability to buy Hard Rock Las Vegas through Brookfield.
Sure.
And Andrea Balkan was wonderful. I have nothing but respect for her. But we just didn't think that property long term was what we wanted representing the Hard Rock brand.
Sure.
So we were then successful at making sure that, you know, brand was taken off the existing building, which is now Virgin, and we wish them nothing but the best. So once we had those rights back, for all of Clark County, because that's the legal definition of what Las Vegas, how it was written, we started looking.
Yes.
And McKinley had been looking very quietly. There were multiple sites that came about, some just dirt, some other properties.
Right.
And certainly, you know, in talking to Jim Muren originally, and then eventually Bill Hornbuckle, you know, the Mirage was a topic. You know, there was the land next to Circus that was a topic. Frankly, the Valley site, which is now Horseshoe, was a topic. So there were many different locations, but I always knew from day one, if MGM was ever serious about moving on from the Mirage, we would be very, very interested.
Yeah, great.
78 acres on the 50-yard line of the Las Vegas Strip.
For sure.
It doesn't come any better.
No. And you're going to build another guitar hotel like you have in Hollywood, Florida, which I've stayed in a couple of times. And it's spectacular. Are you going to plan a pool area like you have in Florida as well?
Oh, yeah. You know, first of all, the guitar in South Florida is 454 feet.
Yeah.
We're just shy of 700 feet here.
Wow, yeah.
So it will be the tallest building in this part of the strip. Obviously, the Stratosphere is taller, you know, more toward downtown. So it'll just be a massive structure. And I think very, very iconic in the Vegas skyline.
Sure,
And yes, there will be a world-class pools, many pools, that frankly rival, I think, anything in town, and hopefully, you know, exceed it.
Right. I imagine you'll have a showroom just like you have in Florida, which is, again, beautiful.
Hard Rock Live is now ranked as one of the best rooms in the world.
Right.
Radio City Music Hall actually is ranked above us and two others, I think.
Yeah.
So really are proud of that room and the level of talent that plays in the room, that frankly usually only plays stadiums and arenas, but they play Hard Rock Live. You know, obviously next week we have Taylor Swift at Hard Rock Stadium, you know, her only United States concert. So hopefully that show will be able to, you know, continue with you know, all the weather coming in Florida.
Right.
But the entertainment side of the brand is very important to us.
For sure, no question about it. Well, let's talk about what's going to happen tonight. You're going to be inducted into the AGA's Gaming Hall of Fame. How did that impact you when they told you that you've been selected?
Oh, it's such a humbling experience. You know, I've been saying for decades, you know, Gene, I think has heard me, you know, leave your ego at the door. No one really cares, you know, and many of the people that are, you know, they try to be friendly with you, it's because of business. It's not because who you are as a person.
Right.
And I learned that a long, long time ago. And I frankly very, you know, I accept that at the highest level. But so when your peers in the industry, and I don't know if you know this, I think there's only 114 people in.
Yeah, sure.
Right?
Yeah, that's right.
I counted.
Yeah.
I believe it's 114.
Yeah.
I could have missed a name or two there, but it's right in that.
I can't remember whether Donald Trump or Steve Wynn is still in. They came in and out.
Yeah, that's true. So that's a good point.
Right.
But with that said, you think about the millions of people that have worked in the industry directly or indirectly,
because
people don't realize, you know, there's entertainers, you know, that are in the Hall of Fame. It's just as humbling of an experience that one could imagine.
Yeah, absolutely. And you're well deserved for you. You'll be giving a speech tonight. I'm looking forward to hearing that. And you know, the accolades that will come along with it. So congratulations on that. And thanks for stopping by here at G2E. We really appreciate it. And good luck in the future. I'm hoping to be there when the new Hard Rock opens in Las Vegas.
Well, you'll certainly have an invitation. That's
absolutely.
For sure. We've known each other for a long time, Roger.
Sure.
And congratulations on all your success.
Great. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
Don't miss a single episode of the GGP Podcast. Subscribe on Amazon, Spotify, and Apple Podcasts today. So we'll see you next time on the GGB Podcast.